Let's just bow our heads. Lord God, we're so grateful to be able to gather today. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you'll just prepare our hearts, Lord God, as we become ready to receive, Lord, from you this morning. I pray, Lord, as we just study your word, Lord, that you'll help us, that you'll grant us understanding, Lord. We ask your blessing upon the service today in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I know that's a little bit small. Just bear with me while I read through. But we're going to make our way to verse 28 now. We're going through Hebrews chapter 9, and I almost made it to chapter 10. And it says in verse 24, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, I think last time I kind of pulled up some different translations of this scripture that we just kind of meditate on and unpack for a few minutes, and take a look at that word appear, that Christ would appear. He appeared the first time to die for our sins, and the second time to finish the redemption. So the New Living Translation, if you want to look at that, it says, he's going to come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who eagerly are eagerly waiting for him. And the Amplified Bible says, so Christ, having been offered once and once for all to bear, and in parentheses as a burden, the sins of many, will appear a second time when he returns to earth, not to deal with sin, but to bring salvation to those who are eagerly and confidently waiting for him. And the Aramaic Bible in plain English says, in this way also the Messiah was offered one time, and he slaughtered in his person the sins of the many. But the second time he appears without our sins for the life of those who expect him. And in the Weymouth New Testament version says, so the Christ also, having been once offered and sacrificed in order that he might bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, separated from sin, to those who are eagerly expecting him, to make their salvation complete. So he died, he appeared once on the scene to die on the cross, and then will appear the second time to finish the work of salvation. Now, Brother Branham said in 1962, and God has a provided way, he said, which one of the prophets did your, now kind of keep in mind, we're going to kind of separate and kind of talk about the appearing versus the coming and what Brother Branham said about those things. And he said, which one of the prophets did your fathers not stone because they didn't know their day? If you'd have known me, you would have known my day. They didn't know John till he was dead buried. So now John is proclaiming that Christ is here. And then Jesus came and they didn't recognize him. He said they didn't know Jesus till he died, till he dead buried. They didn't know St. Patrick, Joan of Arc, the Catholic Church, burn her as a witch to the post because the woman had power and prayer and saw visions. And they said she was a fortune teller, a witch, and they burnt that woman screaming for mercy. Oh, of course, you done penance 200 years later, dug up them priest's body and throw them, but it passed by you and you didn't know it. Even the disciples said, why does the scribe say Elias must first come? Said, Elias has already come and you didn't know it. Goes over your head and you didn't know it. Don't miss it. Now see, remember, go back to what Paul is saying here in verse 28. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. To those that look for him and can recognize. So to finish that quote, he said, now remember these two words before I leave you. The appearing of Christ and the coming of Christ is two different things. Christ is now appearing in the fullness of his power. His coming will be afterwards. His appearing before his coming. God be merciful. And just to kind of borrow an example that I was listening to a sermon that Brother Wade preached back in 10 years ago, and he was using the example of down through the Old Testament, you could see that God would appear in the lives of all of these Old Testament prophets. And then finally, he comes upon the scene. And so what's the difference, really, if you meditate on the appearing and the coming? The appearing and the coming is the perspective of where you are. The coming of the Lord is that Christ revealing himself personally to you. But if his Christ is not, you could be in a church service and see people testify of seeing that eyes actually appear in the little boy's head in Brother Brown's meetings and see Christ actually appearing and manifesting himself. But yet God will not reveal his word to you if you're not born again. So you can see that you can be in a church service where you can see Christ appearing and being manifested and hair being restored that's lost and signs and wonders being done and the lives of Christ and the people and God appearing, but yet not recognize his coming. Amen. Now you see the coming of the Lord is it's almost like, to use an example, like a snowball that really, you could almost say that the coming of the Lord started on the day of Pentecost and began to snowball down until Christ is here and he's come. And then we meet him in the clouds. We go to meet him in the skies and we see him visibly. He's here. And then move on into when he physically comes back, like the scripture says, on a white horse riding with his saints, metaphorically speaking of him returning back in the millennium. So it's like a snowball where he's precept upon precept, line upon line, adding until he's manifest. And so you see how we'll say things like, the rapture is taking place right now, and you could be missing it if you don't recognize his coming, because the rapture is a process where the word is being built up within us until it comes to a headstone. So Brother Brown would say, and from that time in 1962, he said, how many knows there's a difference between the appearing of Christ and the coming of Christ? It's two different words. Now's the appearing. The coming will soon be. He's appearing in the midst of us doing the works that he once did in his church. Now you are part of that church, and by grace you believe. I'm a member of that church. You can see the pattern that he's kind of laying down. There's so many that sat in Brother Branham's meetings back then when he'd say it's, and they'd see Christ appearing and Christ being made manifest in their midst, and yet not recognize the word that he was preaching. But I think, see that now we're I believe we're at a different place. Where back then that people sitting there didn't he was preaching to denominational people and people that didn't really believe what he was preaching. But now we're what a privilege to be able to preach to people that believe what Brother Ram preached, and we're actually have an opportunity now to really do what Brother Ram even never fully had an opportunity to preach to people that knew what the message was and could recognize the coming of the Lord. So you can see the difference now when Christ was there in those meetings, but he appeared to people in the meetings, and his appearance was made known, but yet they didn't recognize that Christ was there. So Brother Branham said, and we would see Jesus. He said, now why didn't he do those signs for the Gentiles? It never was performed by him. Why? Gentiles wasn't looking for no Messiah. It goes back to what Paul's saying. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. They were heathens, we were our people, Romans and so forth, back there with a club on their back, worshiping idols. They wasn't looking for no Messiah. And Messiah only comes to those who are looking for him. That's the only way. To them that look for him will he appear the second time. Just those who are looking for him. Not just two who pertaining, but those who are really looking for him. And notice he never come to Gentile. That miracle was never performed before a Gentile. And the unchangeable God, now we've had 2,000 years of scholarship and all kinds of things, and now it's come evening time, and now the Gentiles are looking for a coming Messiah. Now if he's the same, he appeared the same then to them two tribes, he's got to appear the same way there, and promise though. Now you see the pattern that Brother Brown's laying out is that John the Baptist introduced that Christ was here, and now Brother Branham, the Elijah in this day, was to introduce that he's come, to introduce the coming Messiah. So Brother Branham, and it is I, be not afraid, he said, now when Jesus was on earth, he declared himself to be the Messiah, and John declared there was a Messiah sign followed him, and the Old Testament claimed there'd be a Messiah sign, and he proved that sign to the people that he was the Messiah. How they knowed it was he was a God prophet. Moses, the one that they had followed, said, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet likened unto me. We know that. We're aware of that. And amongst the Jews and the Samaritans, he showed this sign, but of course he never amongst the Gentiles, because we were heathens in those days. our people, the Gentiles, Romans. We wasn't looking for no Messiah. And Messiah only appears to those who's looking for him.
That's right.
That's the way. Those who wait for him, he will appear the second time. So it would behoove us tonight to be waiting for him and watching for him, that we do not miss it when he comes. And Brother Ram, back in what was the Holy Ghost given for? He said, he was talking about baptizing the 17th person there on the Ohio River. And he said, and a voice spoke, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, you'll have a message that'll forerun the second coming of Christ. And it was showing forth his coming down through. So you can see that pattern of the messenger. And I'm taking a step back just so you can see the difference here as we kind of meditate on this. And from that time, he said, people are unconcerned, just exactly like it was in the days of Sodom, just exactly like it was in the days of Noah, scoffers, fun makers. The angel of the Lord is here. And the last sign that he promised to give the church is now appearing amongst the people, and they don't recognize it. What did those Pharisees standing there, religious, good people, church members, fine people, they said in their hearts, not with their lips, they said, this man is a spiritualist, a fortune teller, Beelzebub. He does that by the prince of the devils, Beelzebub. Now you think about what a great thing that God would actually appear in the midst of the people and raise up a man from the dead, and he'd be sitting there and they wouldn't recognize it. That God would appear and they couldn't recognize.
Right.
To recognize that God's presence. I'll use another example. I'm going to borrow a lot from Brother Wade this morning. Another example was Cain and Esau. That Cain could not recognize that God would consume Abel's sacrifice with a holy fire, come down with the fire of God and consume that off the altar, and would still not do what he saw Abel doing, but Abel did it by revelation. So there's your difference. The coming of the Lord is a revelation to you personally of who Jesus Christ is. That's built up within you like a snowball until God is there on the scene. Until actually God is moving, manifesting himself in the midst of the people. And yet people don't recognize it like the Pharisees and all them back there that said that Jesus was the devil. So in perseverance, Brother Ram said, so the Lord is now appearing among his people. Great signs and wonders, raising the dead, healing the sick, and doing the very same things that he did that hasn't been done for 2,000 years. See, the church is honed up through that, brought up till it's right at the time the headstone is coming to meet the church. And then it'll all go together and be raptured. He said, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale, the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth. Many people today think he's still there, but he's not dead. He's risen from the dead. And he's here with us now, appearing among us, proving himself up and down the coast, around the world, everywhere that he lives. And the wicked and an adulterous generation sees a sign that Jesus Christ is alive and not dead. A wicked and an adulterous generation will seek after a sign, and they'll get it, the sign of the resurrection. Let it soak real deep now. Study hard. And he said, in Jehovah Jireh, this is the close of the royal seas waiting. He's here, the appearing of Christ. There's a place in the Bible, you know, I ain't got time to go into it, says the appearing of Christ, and then the coming of Christ. That's two different things altogether, the appearing and the coming. He's appearing now, working with us in the form of the Holy Spirit, making it just perfect, the church. It has to, like if you got a dollar bill in your pocket, take it out and look. On one side, it's the American seal. On the other side, it's an Egyptian seal. The pyramid with a headstone way up above it, like an eye looking. And why would American dollar put beneath there the great seal? Looked like the American seal would be the great seal there. But the United States government recognizes it whether they want to or not, the great seal. Watch that pyramid as he shapes up the church. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then that's got to be honed out to when the headstone never did come to the pyramid. It was rejected, just like the cornerstone. Now, but when that headstone comes, I've been to the pyramid. It's just so perfectly fit, you couldn't run a razor blade between it where the mortar is at. And when the church comes, when Christ comes to receive his church, the church will have the ministry just exactly like that. And through that grace will raise the whole thing, then go. The coming of the headstone crying, grace unto the Lord. Now, as we read that quote, I hope maybe you can see how almost it's kind of difficult to even express these thoughts. That the coming and the appearing could be together. and they're yet different, and the coming could be in the future, but yet now. Because the coming of the Lord is, we're waiting for the coming of the headstone, but yet Christ is coming now as he reveals his word. He's revealing, but he's going to be present when the headstone comes. We're looking for the headstone comes. We're looking to see Christ bodily one day in the millennium. We're looking to see, but now Christ is coming now. And even now as he's coming, yet you could be looking at it and observing the influence of the coming of the Lord, and Christ would be appearing to you and you not recognize it. The appearing is not just something bad. You know, people will say, well, we don't want the appearing. No, we want this morning, we want, as we open our hearts to receive the Spirit, we want to see Christ appearing in our midst. We want to observe the actual Christ manifesting himself in the body of believers. But how much greater to see the word open up to you, to see Christ reveal himself, to see him like he gave that promise. He said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. Mm-hmm. Now, there's the coming of the Lord, that Christ will reveal himself through his word and open himself up to you. Now, let me just kind of skip over this. We know all these scriptures about Elias truly shall first come and looking for it. Because what is Elias supposed to do? Elijah will... In Malachi 4:5-6, the promise that God is going to send an introducer to shift our thinking back to the original mode, the original way that the original disciples and apostles thought, so that we would be prepared to receive the coming of the Lord, which is the fullness of his word in this age, in the season that we're living in. Now, the Jews will look at this scripture and they'll say that they know that Elijah is going to come before the Messiah. So Elijah is a precursor before the fullness of the word, before their Messiah comes. So they, on Passover, they leave this spot at the table because they know Messiah is coming. So whenever you see look in the scripture and see how John the Baptist came, the Son of Man's coming right after that, the fullness of the word in flesh. Whenever you look into the Bible and see how Elijah's coming in Malachi 4:5-6 and promise that here comes the fullness of the word right after that. And so we get our mind so much sometimes on the man, but after the man's got a message, and that message, when people begin to receive it, then that word begins to be made manifest in their life. So now the Jews are looking for, they've got this place set at the table. And if you look on the internet of what the Jews think about that, it says Jewish tradition teaches that Elijah the prophet will be the harbinger of the coming of the Messiah and the world's redemption. It is a chair of hope, that chair that they, that place they leave at the table at the Passover, Elijah's cup in Judaism, the fifth ceremonial cup of wine poured during the family cedar dinner on Passover is left untouched in honor of Elijah, who according to belief will arrive one day as an unknown guest to herald the advent of the Messiah. His presence, now think about this, that's so overlooked in the world today that we're living in. When Elijah comes, his presence signifies that the Messiah is here. His presence signals the Messianic era, a time of redemption, peace, and spiritual bliss. The full cup, one for the future, remains untouched to honor another hospitality and offer hospitality to Elijah when he ultimately appears. So go back to what Paul's saying here. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. He died on the cross for us, but he's going to appear again. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, didn't Christ appear to us in this day visibly in meetings? You've heard people testify where they'd go into meetings and they felt such a presence that they knew that as soon as they walked through the doors, they knew God was there. And I was listening to a testimony online where this lady, she had bobbed hair, and she was obviously not a message believer, but she was talking about standing in the prayer line in Brother Branham's meetings, and she looked down while Brother Branham was praying for her and saw a wheel in the middle of the wheel turning as Brother Branham, the voice of the Lord through Brother Branham, spoke her healing to her. Now, see, there's the appearing. You can see God actually manifest and yet not recognize, because God's word is not revealed to you. She received her healing. You see, how much greater is it for God to reveal himself to you and come to you? And compare it like this. That sitting on the hillside listening to Jesus while he passed out bread and fish, and they could see God, that God was there, but yet not recognize the word that he was speaking to them. What's the coming of the Lord? I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you like a snowball until at the very end, at the end of the age, Christ is made manifest, not maybe so much in the little man, but in you, in these people sitting here looking at me. Those people sitting in Brother Brown, if you can look real hard and squint real hard, you can see Brother Brown down on the stage preaching. And how many of those people recognized that Christ was in their midst and felt the anointing and saw God appearing, but yet failed to understand the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Brown said in the message, look, he said, now if you just look upon it, say, I got a little crucifix hanging in my car. I got one at my home, a cross. That's all right, but that ain't what it is. That's not what he's talking about. You got to see that God knows that you are a sinner. Those that look for him shall he appear. And that you have confessed your sins, and God put your iniquity upon him, upon himself, and equipment become a man. He crossed his strain and come down from being God to be man, that he might die in your stead to give himself for you. And you confessed your sin, and not a manufactured Clorox, but a power of God that was made blood, that he might take away your sinful blood by sexual desire and make you a free man and woman of God. There you are. What are you looking at? You say, I belong. So now the reason I put this slide in here, let's take a step back, is to show the difference between the appearing and the coming, because it depends on how you're looking. You can look with just your natural eyes and see Christ being made manifest in the meeting and enjoy the anointing. But if you look with your spiritual eye, by faith, because manifestation is not the evidence, but faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of your new birth. So if you're looking by faith, then it changes the picture. If you're looking, that's the coming of the Lord to you when he reveals himself to you. What are you looking at? You say, I belong to a denomination, Assemblies of God. I belong to the United Pentecostal. I belong to the Methodist, the Baptist. You're still focusing away. Focus yourself in on Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the answer come back. All thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven. Now, see, Brother Branham come to preach a word that would loose the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so many cannot see what his purpose was. And I just kind of as an example before we close up here, I think we've all seen that comic strip of Peanuts where, let's just read through this. I wish I could blow it up even more. But he says, all right, golf. Oh, I can blow it up. Great. I don't have my glasses. I'm getting older, y'all. I need. All right, golf fans, this is it. The old pro has to make this one. He's down to the last putt, and he can't play it safe. He has to go for it. There's no tomorrow. There's no tomorrow. There's no tomorrow. They just announced on TV that there's no tomorrow. There's no tomorrow. They just announced it on TV. Panic, panic, run, hide, flee, run for the hills. Flee to the valleys, run to the rooftops. But then they hold on a second. If there's no tomorrow, wait, something was supposed to happen first. Somehow I never thought it would end this way. And Snoopy says, I thought Elijah was to come first. I see even the comic strip in the Sunday paper testifies that Elijah's supposed to come first. Why? To introduce the coming of the Lord. That's why in Matthew 24 it says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known and watched the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, again, let's not lose context of what we're talking about, that Paul said, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's appearing the second time to finish your work of redemption, to finish everything up, to come in fullness. So now, what's the coming and the appearing? How are you looking? If your natural eyes are fixed on him, you're just seeing him moving in the church. You're seeing other people get a blessing. You're seeing God move in the spirit. You're seeing somebody else get filled with the Holy Ghost. But if you're looking by eyes of faith, God is real to you. Like that deacon that was out on the boat with that little girl in the church that asked him, can you see God? And he said, everywhere I look, I see God. Because if you're looking by eyes of faith, you can see God in your life. You can see God in the sunrise. You can see God in the in nature. You can see God everywhere you look. You can see God, how he's changing, how he's changing you, how he's changed your family, how he's changing your church, everywhere you see. So now we want to, what is the coming? The coming is Christ revealing himself to you. And, you know, in that message, Brother Aaron preached, where he went through all the mysteries that have been revealed in this last day, the mystery of the Godhead, the kingdom of heaven, the New Testament church is one, mystery of Babylon, the mystery of iniquity, serpent seed, the seven stars, the mystery of true grace, the mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I'm putting this out here so sometimes we don't realize what we're getting here when we come to church. But it's building up line upon line until you know who God is. No eternal hell and water baptism, the pillar of fire returning back, and the true anointing that's on the bride, the statue of a perfect man, adoption, Israel's blindness, the translation of the living saints at the end of this age and the seven seals. That's what God is doing, coming to reveal to us. So in Hebrews chapter 10, we finished. That's it. We made it to Hebrews chapter 10. Well, let me just run through this outline before we close to just kind of background. Because in chapter 1, I know that's real small again, but chapter 1, we talked about how the description of God's salvation, this is just an outline of the book of Hebrews, that God had provided a way for us to be saved, that he was superior to angels, and Paul outlined that God came down in flesh and manifested himself in Jesus Christ, that he was higher than every apostle and priest and anybody who had ever brought a message before. In chapter 3, he talked about entering into God's rest and how the danger of missing that rest and how to be disqualified from getting that rest and how the rest is really resting upon God's word and not on our own ideas. And the word of God is how is our guard, it's our protection. And then in chapter 4, the priesthood of God's salvation, and talked about the priesthood of Melchizedek and how Christ fulfilled that. And chapter 8, the system of God's salvation and how we've been introduced to a new covenant, the new covenant of Christ's blood, that Christ will actually live out this covenant in our lives. And comparing that to the earthly and the heavenly tabernacles. And in chapter 10, we're going to get into the life of God's salvation. And look in chapter 11 at lives of the saints that live by a life of faith. Because faith, as we know, is the evidence, the evidence of things hoped for. And we'll just stop there. God bless you, saints. Amen.